So, most Christians live lives of quiet desperation, and most Christians live lives as practical atheists. And what is meant by that statement is that we come to church, we may be nice with each other today, and raise our voices and our hearts to God in praise. But when we go to school, or go to work, or get busy in the homes tomorrow, we're not really expecting God to be with us. We're not really expecting God to answer prayer. We're not really expecting the strength and joy and peace of Jesus Christ to surround our lives. So most Christians live lives of quiet desperation. And the second phrase, that most Christians live lives as practical atheists. Now, I don't know how true those statements are, but they troubled me when I first heard them, and they've stuck with me all these years. I think the answer to both of those issues is that we need to rededicate ourselves, especially rededicate ourselves to seek the Lord. In Psalm 105, verse 4, it says, "Seek the Lord and His strength, seek His presence continually." That's going to be our theme this morning. We're going to come back to it from a little bit different as we have the service before the communion service. But this morning I want to share with you that for us to receive the full blessings from the Lord, we must dedicate ourselves to seek God and to serve Him. We must dedicate ourselves to seek God and to serve Him if we're to receive His fullest blessings. So let me give you a few verses about seeking God that are my favorite ones. Many years ago, I've had the practice of reading through the Bible at least once every year for many years. And several years ago, I kept a note of every time that the Bible used the word "seek the Lord" or "sought the Lord," something like that. I kept a record of it. I've gone back over the years and studied it to try to kind of summarize the ideas. Let me give you some of my favorite verses. In 2 Chronicles 26:5, it says that, talking about King Uzziah, but it says that he sought the Lord in the days of Zechariah the priest. And then it goes on to say that as long as he sought the Lord, God caused him to prosper. In Psalm 34, which we just sang, it tells us that the lions may hunger and lack their food, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. In Proverbs 28:5, it says that those who seek the Lord understand all things. And then in Psalm 69, verse 32, let me read that verse for you. Psalm 69, verse 32. When the humble see it, they will be glad. You who seek the Lord, let your hearts revive. So there's a reviving of our hearts that come as we seek the Lord. There's new life, if you will, that's given to us as we learn to seek the Lord. So again, for us to experience the fullest blessings of God, I believe that we need to rededicate ourselves to seek and to serve God. Now, if you have your Bibles open, we're going to be concentrating our time, as I said, on Psalm 105, verse 4. It says, "Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His presence continually." So there's three things that the psalmist tells us that we're to seek. The first one is that we're to seek the Lord. And so to fit the outline that I have for you this morning, we need to seek the person of the Lord. We need to seek the person of God. The prophets condemned the people for seeking after the false gods, after their idols. They sought Baal, they sought Dagon, they sought Chemosh, they saw all these false gods. And the prophet's exhortation was, don't go after, don't run after, don't worship these false gods. Seek the Lord God of heaven. So one of the ways that we seek God, contrasting to what the people were doing in the time of the prophets, we seek God by our dedication to Him, by our wholehearted worship to Him. We're to seek the Lord. We don't seek after the false gods. So seeking is also in the Scripture as a synonym for worship. It's a synonym for worship. So as we gather together with wholehearted worship to God, that's a demonstration that we're seeking Him. So in a sense, the fact that you're here this morning truly is a demonstration that you're seeking God. We don't seek after idols. John Calvin said that the human heart is a factory for the making of idols. So we had a marker board up here, and you all were honest, which hopefully you are, but one of these tough questions. And you had to list on the marker board, what are the things in life that you're seeking? Probably most Christians would put things up there like happiness, or security, or prestige, or confidence, or wisdom, or wealth, or pleasure. The Bible says, seek first the Lord and His kingdom. We're to seek first the Lord and His kingdom. In 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse 19, David is giving instructions to Solomon, who was going to take over the kingdom and was going to build the temple. And he says this, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord God of your fathers." Let me just ask you, have you set your heart to seek the Lord? Have you set your soul to seek Him? Again, the psalmist says, seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face continually. Now, there's a couple of great promises given in the Bible about this topic of seeking the Lord, or to fit our outline, seeking His presence, or seeking His person. It's given in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. And in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. And they're basically the similar words. It says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him, if you seek for Him with all your heart." Isn't that a beautiful promise? That we can find God? So let's suppose that in a couple of weeks, somebody is out planting some flowers in your front yard here. And it's a Saturday afternoon, and as they're digging in the ground, planting the flowers, they hit something with their little spade or whatever. And they dig around, and they find three gold coins that appear to be Spanish doubloons. And then the person goes home and they find somebody that's got one of those metal detectors, and they come over here and they use their metal detector and say, "Yeah, there seems to be metal all under the property out here." So you have these Spanish coins that are worth millions of dollars, and you have evidence of the fact that your front yard is probably filled with them. How many of you would go home and come back tomorrow with your shovels and your picks to dig up your front yard? Because you would be finding, you believe, the treasure of Spanish gold coins. The Bible says to us that if we seek God with all of our hearts, we will find Him. What a promise. We will find Him. Augustine said this, "To fall in love with God is the greatest romance. To seek Him, the greatest adventure. To find Him, the greatest human achievement." Now, if you want to turn with me to Isaiah 65, we'll see an amazing picture here. That part of the verse that we're going to look at are quoted by Paul in the book of Romans. But notice what Psalm 65, verse 1 says. Psalm 65, 1. "I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, 'Here I am, here I am,' to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices." You see, here's the beauty of it. God is reaching out His hands to you. You may have not set your hearts or your souls, as David says, to seek the Lord. But He is reaching out to you. And He reaches out to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Bill would remember, I'm sure. Bill and I served for many years together on the denomination's church vitalization committee, or we actually changed it and became Vital Churches Committee. But there was a movement that started. It's still here today, but not quite as talked about quite as much. But the idea was to have seeker-friendly worship services. I always thought it was kind of funny, because the idea was that you have your worship service set so that those people that might be interested in learning about God would come. The Bible says that there's no one who seeks after God. The seeker is the Lord. Because Jesus said in Luke 19:10, for he came to seek and to save that which was lost. So God is reaching out to you. And again, Psalm 27, which we just sang, the Lord said to me, seek my face. My heart, O Lord, the psalmist responds, my heart, O Lord, will seek you. So God's the one that's reaching out. And we need to set our hearts to seek Him. We need to seek the person of the Lord. The second thing that this passage teaches is that we need to seek the power of the Lord. Again, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His presence continually. We need to seek the power of the Lord. At the end of his life, the Apostle Paul said that at his first defense, no one supported him. They all deserted him. But then he goes on in 2 Timothy 4 and says that, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and all the Gentiles might hear. You see, all of his friends had deserted him. They, you know, didn't want to help him. And whatever situation Paul was referring to there, he calls it his first defense. Nobody wanted to associate with him, it seems. They all deserted him. But the Lord stood with him and strengthened him. And so we need to seek His power. You probably all know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And in Ephesians chapter 3, it talks of Paul's praying, and his prayer is that we might be strengthened in the inner man. You see, Paul is praying that for the Ephesian people because he knew it was possible that they might find strength in the inner person. So he's praying that that would be true in their lives. We need to seek His power. We need to recognize that we need His strength. So let's say you had a big project around your house. You need to tear out several walls in your house, or maybe you need to take out some trees in your backyard, and you know that I'm here for a couple of days, and you say, hey, well, why don't you come over to my house and help me take down these walls, take down these trees? And I say, okay, I'll do it. But you know that my strength would wear out pretty quickly, right? But not so with God. And that's why we need to seek His strength. You see, we need to seek His strength in our activities throughout the day. Are you trying to complete that new project at work in your own strength? Are you trying to complete your schoolwork in your own strength? Are you trying to raise your children in your own strength? We need to seek God's strength. Seek the Lord and seek His strength. Seek His face, or seek His presence continually. Trying to live the Christian life in our own strength is like continuing to shop at the second-hand store when we don't realize that the wallpaper that is covering our living room walls are coupons for Nordstrom's. You see, the power and the resources of God are made available to you in Jesus Christ. Quite simply, the resources of God are Jesus Christ. And His power, His strength, His joy, His wisdom, His peace, His enthusiasm, whatever it is available to you in Jesus Christ. Amy Carmichael, the famous missionary to India, used to always try to be in prayer with God. And whatever situation she was in where she might need something from God, she might be in an intense conversation trying to rescue a child from the temple prostitution that was so rampant in India in those days. Whatever situation she would find herself in, she would just simply say, okay, what I need from you now, God, is your love, or your power, or your joy, or your strength. And even if she was carrying on her conversations with people, she would simply say, your strength, Lord, your love, whatever it was that she needed. She would ask God to bring it to her. So let me give you a few simple points about how to seek His power, to seek His strength. First of all, we have to admit our weakness. Most of us don't like to do that, right? It's interesting that the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 says that he boasted in his weakness. Most of us try to hide our weaknesses. The Apostle Paul boasted in his. A few years ago, I was having lunch with a young man who was a missionary with Overseas Missionary Fellowship. For those of you that know your mission, this is the new name. Well, it's not new anymore, but it's the name that it's the China Inland Mission. They changed their name to Overseas Missionary Fellowship. He served in China, and as I was talking to him, I was just very impressed about how he was willing to boast about his weaknesses. Paul said that he boasted about his weaknesses because when he was weak, then he was strong. Because you see, God's power entered into his life as he boasted in his weakness, realized that he couldn't do the things that he needed to do. Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, said that God uses people who are weak and feeble enough to live on, who are weak and feeble enough to lean on him. So the first thing we need to do if we're going to have a servant, we need to admit our weakness. We need to acknowledge that we don't have the strength, the power, the love, the joy, the enthusiasm, whatever it is. We don't have it in ourselves. Those resources are given to us by God through Jesus Christ. Second thing we must do is we must acknowledge God's miracles. Isn't it interesting that Psalm 105 verse 4 tells us to seek the Lord, and then the very next verse says, remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles, and the judgment He uttered. So there's a sense that God is tying in His strength, His presence, His person into the idea that we need to take time to remember His miracles. So I've tried to apply this verse, this combination of these two verses. And each day I try to think about the marvelous things that God has done through a certain part of church history. On Mondays I try to recall to mind all the things that God did from creation through the time of the prophets. Through the time of, not the prophets, but what was Samuel called? The judges. Thank you. Yes. Time of the judges. Good thing this is not going on the radio, huh? So I try to remember all the wonderful things that God has done from creation to the judges. On Tuesday, it's from the time of the kings and the prophets. On Wednesday, it's the time of the miracles that God did in the New Testament through Jesus and His apostles. On Thursday, I try to think through the things that God has done in church history. And on Friday, I try to think through the things that God has done in my own life. And I found my soul being strengthened as I recall those things on a regular basis. So we must admit our weakness. We must acknowledge God's miracles. We must ask for help. Amy Carmichael asked for help. Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would be strengthened in the inner man. The fourth step is that we must be humble. You see, the Bible tells us that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you've not humbled yourself under the mighty hand of God, as James tells us, then God's going to be opposed to you. I use the illustration a few times at the North Hills Church. Maybe Brian and Christine have heard it. But I guarantee you that I can win any competition that you want me to enter. I don't care if it's a basketball game. I know I'm back in the state of Indiana. Basketball is big here. I don't care if it's a basketball game. I don't care if it's tiddlywinks. I don't care if it's chess. I don't care if it's the Rubik's Cube. I don't care what the competition is. I guarantee you that I can win that competition under one condition. You let me choose your opponent. You let me choose my opponent. So I wouldn't choose anybody that's young and tall to enter a basketball competition. I might choose a 3-year-old or maybe even younger. I wouldn't choose Brian to enter a chess competition. I don't know if Brian plays chess. I wouldn't choose him. I'd probably choose, you know, somebody that's 2 or 3 years old. I can win any competition as long as you allow me to choose my opponent. You see, the Bible says that God is opposed to the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And then the fifth step to receive God's strength is that we must be committed. There's that wonderful verse in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, which says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the whole earth, so He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Isn't that a beautiful verse? God is searching throughout the world for those people whom He can strengthen, for those people He can support. And He gives that support and that strength to those whose heart are completely His. So I say to you again, have you dedicated your heart and your soul, as 1 Chronicles 22:19 says, to seek the Lord your God? The third thing that we must seek here, according to this verse, is that we must seek His presence continually. Now, some of your translations will use the word face. The idea in the Old Testament is that if you were seeing somebody's face, you were in His presence. The Bible talks about Moses being in the face of Pharaoh. But Moses was in Pharaoh's presence. And so we must seek His presence continually. To be in the presence of a king or a Pharaoh really meant that you had important business to do with him, or that the person found favor in his eyes. You know that Esther was allowed to come into the presence of the king because she found favor in his eyes. And so we must seek to live our lives in such a way that we're seeking God's favor. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have it as our ambition to be pleasing to Him. So again, it's a matter of the heart. Is our heart set on being pleasing to God? You know that in John 14:21, Jesus says that if we keep His commandments, He will love us, and the Father will love us, and He will manifest Himself to us. So as we learn to obey, to walk in the way that are pleasing to God, then God manifests more of Himself to us. We learn more about God as we purpose to obey Him. And then, we already looked at Proverbs 27:8, where God says to us, seek my face. And the psalmist's response was, your face, O Lord, I will seek. So I want to ask you again this morning, are you seeking the Lord? Is that the direction of your life? Is that your ambition? Do you want to find the Lord? Again, the Bible tells us that we'll find Him. Now, the beauty of the New Testament is that we don't have to climb Mount Everest or swim English Channel to find the Lord. Because if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we don't have to go across the sea. We don't have to go across the state border. Because if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then the life of Jesus Christ dwells in us. And that's a wonderful thing. Not that we have to climb a mountain or go to the moon. Jesus dwells in us. And so, we just need to dedicate ourselves to the life that we already have. Dedicate ourselves to live in such a way that we are seeking His favor. Perhaps Romans 12:1 states as well as any verse that we're to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. The tense of the Greek word there is a once. It refers to an action that happened one time. That we present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Have you done that? Have you presented yourself to God as a living sacrifice? Because you see, that's what God wants from us. And that's us seeking Him. We die to ourselves and we live for Him. So if you're in Christ this morning, recognize that Isaiah 65 has been fulfilled. All day long, God is reaching out His hands to obstinate, disobedient people. And if you're in Christ, He's found you. Now our response is to seek Him. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. Let's give thanks together for the Lord Jesus Christ and for the privilege that we can live in His presence. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for these few minutes that we have this morning. Thank You that You are near to Your people. You are not a God who is far off, but You are a God who is near. And so, Lord, we do pray that You might help us to discipline ourselves to seek You, to seek Your power, and to seek Your presence. And God, we thank You that in Jesus Christ these things are available to us, as we know that all the resources of Yours are available to us in Jesus. So God, we do pray that You might help us to evaluate our lives, and that we might be able to set the direction of our lives more and more. Sometimes it may be small steps, sometimes for some of us it may be steps we've taken before. For those others, it may seem like a big step. But that we might be able to set the direction of our lives, the direction of our hearts, the direction of our souls, to seek You, knowing that we will find You. So thank You, God. Draw near to us, and we thank You for Jesus Christ. It's in His precious name that we pray. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 100. In your books of praise, Psalm 100, we will use Psalm 105, and then we're going to sing the psalm that we just preached. So one of the selection A of Psalm 105. And again, you'll notice that the verse that tells us that we're to seek the Lord and to seek His strength and seek His face forever. Let's stand as we sing Psalm 105, selection A. Psalm 105, selection A. Would you please stand?
Na 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 na. Oh,
please turn to Psalm 72, selection C, and we will sing selection C of Psalm 72 following the benediction. Psalm 72, selection C. The Bible tells us, seek the Lord and seek His strength, seek His presence continually. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Psalm 72, selection C.
Both of those stanzas 9 to 12.
Are
we just doing the last one?
No,
it's all of them.
Okay. Psalm 72, C.
May we pray on your love, God, like Lebanon, its harvest you. May people flourish and creep up, the grasses growing in the field, like grasses growing in the field. Oh, may his name forever live, yes, like a sun. May his name must find him. May people blessing give. May all the nations call him blessed. May all the nations call him blessed. May he be blessed, the Lord alone, bless he, the God of Israel. For only he has wonders done. His words all other deeds excel. His words all other deeds excel. And may his name of glorious worth receive its praise eternally, and may his glory fill the earth. Amen, amen, so may it be. Amen.